Interesting Items 1221. Howdy all, a few interesting items for your information. Enjoy. In this issue. 1. Endgame. 2. Dominion. 3. Models. 4. Hack. 5. Woke. 1. Endgame. And the hits just keep on coming. December 18th, the date that the Director of National Intelligence, DNI, was supposed to issue a report on foreign influence on the November election, came and went, without a formal report being issued. Swamp creatures infesting the intel departments decided their best strategy at this time was to slow roll the analysis required by Trump's SEP 2018 executive order. There was disputed reporting over the weekend whether the report had been submitted or not, with the Epoch Times and FNC reporting that the report had been delayed and survived the News and Vision Times reporting it had been submitted. Either way, the DNI had enough information that Trump called a 4.5-hour WH meeting Friday afternoon, where reportedly the swamp creatures in his administration tried to talk him into quitting. Someone is getting nervous. Good. Should the report demonstrate the level of Qi Gon and other foreign interference expected, we will have quite the discussion over the next couple weeks. One of the newer big lies out of Democrats and media is that the courts have adjudicated the fraud claims made by Republicans and the Trump campaign. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The courts at all levels have simply jumped through a variety of legal hoops as an excuse not to hear any case, any witness, or look at any evidence. In essence, they punted, not wanting to get into the fight. Rather than taking up a case, deciding there was sufficient evidence that fraud took place, and punting the entire mess back to the various state legislatures to fix, they took the easy way out. There was an old saying out of the Middle Ages that having a cardinal for a friend is no help when things get tough. Appears the judicial aristocracy of today is just as bad as the clerisy was a millennia ago. For their part, state legislatures in NV, Y, GA, PA, and Oz chose alternate electors. The next big date will be the newly installed Congress to consider the electors from the various states. It will be a joint session. If any House member objects to any state slate of electors, the House meets separately to consider that slate. Same holds true for the Senate. The rules of this process, including length of debate, is set by federal law. The goal is to either drag the process out to the point where the whole mess is tossed to the House and Senate to decide, or the House Speaker becomes a caretaker president until Congress can decide. 2. Dominion. For the geeks among you, the Chiefio ran an extended and in-depth analysis of the Antrim, Michigan Dominion Forensics Report. The report can be found here. If and when it is no longer available, let me know and I'll find alternate source. In a pinch, I have a local copy. The first part was on December 17th, the second on December 18th. Take a while to look through the comments. They are instructive. Word of warning, this is highly technical, but just as damning to the notion that no fraud took place as the hairy Redmi files leaked out of the East Anglia University Climate Research Unit were to the climate models the glow warmers put so much faith in. The forensic audit was done on Dominion voting system machines used in Antrim County, Michigan. It concludes the following. The Dominion voting system is intentionally and purposefully designed with inherent errors to create systemic fraud and influence election results. The system created a huge number of ballot errors, which were then transferred in bulk to adjudication, which was done without oversight, transparency, or audit trail. Original split on November 3 gave Biden the county 7,769 to 4,509 to Trump. This was corrected to 7,289 Biden, 9,783 Trump on November 5. Final totals by November 21 were Biden 5,960 to 9,748 Trump. The county clerk and secretary of state reported the election night error was the result of human error by the failure to update a township tabulator before the election. The auditors believe it was caused by machine error built into the software. The Secretary of State's statement that correct result were always reflected on tabulator totals tape was demonstrably false. Allowable FEC guidelines for election error rate is 1 in every 250,000 ballots, 0.0008%. Error rates on these machines was 68.5%. Results are therefore not certifiable as a result of machine, software rather than human error. Tabulation log for the Antrim County server contained 15,676 individual events. 10,667 of these were recorded as errors, 68.05%. Errors occurred after the county clerk provided a re-provision card with uploaded software for the Central Lake Precinct on November 6. The system produced systemic errors and high error rates before and after the update. In Central Lake Township, 1,222 ballots were reversed out of 1,491 cast, an 81.96% rejection rate. These were all sent to adjudication by election personnel. The computer system shows all adjudication logs for prior years. None of the logs for the 2020 election cycle still exist. They were all deleted. This removal violates election law. All server security logs before 2303 November 4 are also missing. This includes all security logs for the day before, of and after the election are gone. This eliminates the entire audit trail for the election. On November 21, an unauthorized user attempted unsuccessfully to zero out, wipe, election results. This demonstrates additional tampering with data. It looks like one of the games was to throw everything possible into adjudication with spectacularly high error rates. The adjudicator, local election officials or Dominion employees, then assigned those votes to whomever they wanted, generally Biden, deleting the logs afterwards. And this was only a single county where the auditors could get their hands on a few Dominion machines. These are used in 28 states, including Alaska. The other thing from this analysis is that the voting machine is programmed via a memory card, with all the software on that card. Swap cards, and you reset the machine. It also has the ability to reprogram via external connection to the internet. This is an intentionally unsecure system, and as such, a vehicle for election fraud, brilliantly performed by Democrats and whatever international actors were working with them. 3. Models. As much as I despise models, particularly the models the glow warmers base everything upon, the reason they are used is because from time to time they are useful. Last week, Revolver ran a story about the results from a simple, the best kind, statistical model of county-level voter behavior in the 2020 election. They used two types of data. First was county-specific voting data from the five previous presidential elections. Second was selected demographic variables, race and education, how different national voter groups voted differently in 2020 overall. These explain over 95% of the variation in county-level votes, allowing the model to identify substantial anomalies in the 2020 election. The model shows Trump should have won Oz, GA, NV, PA and Y. Every one of the contested states shows a larger-than-predicted vote share for Trump than what he actually received. The oddity is that if this was a random variation, some of the predictions ought to favor Biden. None do. The model predicts a decisive Trump victory in Oz and GA. Whatever happened in these states, flipped five of them from Trump to Biden. And in the sixth, Trump was predicted to get 0.498% of the total vote. He actually received 0.486%. Note that this does not include any third-party candidate. Peter Navarro did a related analysis of significant irregularities that took place across all six battleground states. Navarro's analysis supports the Scott Adams suggestion that the Democrats packetized their fraud, committing a wide variety of fraud so that any individual chunk was not large enough all by itself to cause a court to find fraud in the election. 4. Hack. As we are on an IT kind of path this week, time to update the reader on a very large, dangerous hack announced last week, and as usual blamed on the Russians. Only it's not the Russians. The hackers attached malware to a software update from SolarWinds, a company that sells software tools to monitor computer customers. Over 18,000 of its customers got an infected software update MAR, June this year. These customers all ran Windows of some sort and included governments at all levels. The hack gave the top-level admin privileges, godlike privs, on any machine connected to the network being monitored. The worst part about this hack is that the infected machines do not necessarily know they have been compromised. If the hackers were smart, and apparently, they were in their exploit, they can use the open systems as targets for installation of a variety of tools that will allow them continuing access. Oh, By the way, Dominion also uses SolarWinds opening 28 states starting last summer to external diddling of their election systems. Who did it? My guess is China, who has access to the top-level CIA hacking tools that allow them to hack anywhere and, as we discovered last summer, blame their hack on a third party. And what better third party for a Democrat party, media and big tech completely compromised by China than blaming Russia? This is a real big deal, one that ought to spawn a rolling reinstall of base operating systems nationwide, not unlike what was done for the 2000 rollover. Yet another IT disaster becomes a business opportunity. 5. Woke. One of the smarmier manifestations of the political left these days is the notion of woke capital, the refusal of businesses and lending institutions to do business with any entity not up to their moral high ground. We see it here in Alaska, with the refusal of banks to lend to businesses in the resource development world. This includes but is not limited to oil, natural gas, mining and logging. As the corporate boardrooms become infested with leftists and those who simply do not have the spine to stand up to the political left, we see corporations using their position to enforce their moral and political, always leftist, view of the world. The Wall Street Journal wrote a piece over the summer about a number of corporations, Coca-Cola, Starbucks, Verizon, North Face, Eddie Bauer, who stopped Facebook ads because lefties claimed FB wasn't doing enough to censor what they believe is hate speech. Of course, any speech they disagree with is hate speech. Breitbart last week described BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, think retirement and investment accounts, starting to pressure companies on environmental and racial grounds. BlackRock controls $7.8 trillion in assets, issued what they call stewardship expectations requiring companies to disclose racial, ethnic and gender makeup of their workforce and measures to advance diversity, equity and inclusion. They are proud of harassing 750 engagements and companies with their demands. They boast of identifying 244 companies making insufficient progress integrating climate risk into their business models. They had more than 1,200 engagements with companies on environmental topics. This movement, particularly in the financial, lending, banking, investment, and wealth management world, is going to take congressional action to stop. More later. AG. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams, speech at the Philadelphia State House, August 1, 1776.